How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Music Production Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Funk. I make music as Afro DJ Mac. And today is going to be the start of a new type of episode for the podcast. I'm going to call it RNA, or Reflect and Apply. So I have a lot of really interesting conversations with a wide variety of people on this show, and I'm usually left after the show thinking about the things we've said and what we've talked about. It kind of echoes around in my head, and sometimes there's more questions, sometimes there's things I want to try and things I want to do and incorporate into my own workflow. And I thought these episodes sort of needed to happen because it's almost like a continuation of what I've learned and thought about after talking with so many different people. And there's just kind of too many things that have come up that I feel like we really need to maybe see how we can apply this stuff. Because it's one thing to learn something and talk about something, but then the next thing is to kind of internalize it and use it in our own methods of doing work. So that's what this episode's going to be about. It's going to be a reflect and apply, or an RNA. But before we get to that, I do want to tell you about my latest release, which is a brand new Ableton Live and Logic Pro pack. It's the first pack I've done with Logic, first set of sounds I've released with Logic, and it's called Late 80s Digital. And Late 80s Digital is a collection of sounds. I'm kind of like, my slogan for them is the sound of yesterday's tomorrow, because they come from like a very 80s futuristic vision of the world. I think in the 1980s there was some really cool stuff going on with synthesizers where they were kind of like this futuristic thing that were going to change the face of music. Whereas today we're kind of almost looking backwards. We're trying to get those retro vintage sounds. And I guess the funny thing about late 80s digital is it's this sort of retro look back thing at a different vision of the future, kind of a time when we thought we were going to have flying cars and be teleporting everywhere. These sounds sort of capture that idea of the future is going to be so incredibly different than it is now. And in so many ways, it has changed a lot. But in so many other ways, it's sort of stayed the same. Like a lot of things we thought were going to happen just haven't. And there were many other things, such as the internet or smartphones, that took us by surprise that we didn't really see back then. Anyway, I digress. I wanted to tell you about Late 80s Digital because I think it's a really cool pack. It's got 50 sounds. I sampled the new Roland DO5, which is the linear synthesis recreation of the old school Roland D50. It's supposed to be an exact replica, and it sounds great. I'm loving it. I'm really glad I picked it up. These boutiques are really cool by Roland. And I just sampled the daylights out of it, multiple velocity layers, multiple notes for each patch, and tried to capture a lot of character and feeling of that sort of futuristic sound. So maybe if you're interested in that kind of thing, check out Late 80s Digital. It's for Ableton Live and Logic Pro. And all the music you heard during that little announcement was made with Late 80s Digital and my VHS drums, which is another cool pack. But anyway, let's get on with the show. Today is an RNA episode, Reflect and Apply. If you can come up with a better name for that, let me know, but I think it's kind of cool. And today I want to go all the way back to episode number 33, the first year of this podcast. Even though this is only the second year, it does seem like a long time ago. And that episode was with DaVinci. DaVinci is, I would call him a finger drumming wizard. He's a really talented artist composer from Orlando, Florida. He's even a teacher. He's got what he calls the studio sensei, which is his private lessons and really even life wisdom that he gives, which is pretty cool. And I could totally understand why after speaking with him, just because he's got so much good information about how he gets in the flow, how he kind of trusts himself to make his music and not worry about being judged. And that was really the thing that struck me when I saw him perform, was that he was in the moment like you wouldn't believe. He was absorbed with the music, grooving out, dancing around, moving like crazy, working up a sweat, and putting on a fantastic show. It was very entertaining. And one of the things we talked about was getting physical when you make music. And I think this is really an important point and something I've been thinking about ever since and trying to work into my own kind of way of doing things. So I know I've mentioned this before, but just in case you haven't heard, I started out playing guitar, playing in rock bands, And playing guitar is a very physical activity. You're usually standing, right? Especially electric guitar, you're standing, you're swinging your arms around. And if you're getting into it, if you're in playing harder music, you might be banging your head, you might be jumping around, all kinds of things. And often when I would play with bands, I'd work up a crazy sweat and get a good workout, really like some cardio going. And if you're playing drums, if you're singing, again, that's like really physical stuff. And I think there's something really important about getting the blood flowing, getting the body moving. Kind of a weird thing that I say to people when they ask me about important pieces of gear I have, I tell them a table, like a table to set up my stuff on. So when I'm doing my electronic stuff, I have this table. It's made by a company called Grundorf, and it's just a DJ table, I guess, with adjustable legs, and it goes up pretty high to like countertop height, almost like a bar, say, not a regular table. For me, this was really important because when I would set up on kind of your normal table, I'd always have to hunch over. And I'm pretty tall, I'm 6'3", so that's like tiring on your body. And getting the table really helped me be more comfortable when I play and when I make my music. So it's a weird thing to say that it is a useful piece of gear, but it ties in with the story about how it helps me make my music. Now, if you are making music on a computer, a lot of times you're sitting down in a chair in this stagnant position. You've really got a very low energy level. Your heart rate's probably pretty low. And it's very easy to just kind of get this like lazy feeling going. And I think it's really important not to have that, not to do that all the time, to get your body moving a little bit. And I think a lot of music is about the beat and about how it moves you. And it's kind of hard to really move and get into it when you're sitting in a chair, clicking on a mouse and typing in things on a, you know, QWERTY keyboard. So I want to talk about what we can do and why it's so important. I think there's a huge connection between the mind and the body. I mean, in fact, I don't even see it as a separation. Everyone thinks body and mind, but really your mind is part of your body. Your brain is part of your body, and it requires oxygen and blood flow. And we really get our blood flowing when we move our body. It's extremely important. So let's talk about some things we can do to get the body moving, get the blood flowing, and make that body-mind connection happen and work for us a little bit. First thing I would say is when you're making music, or even before you make music, do a little exercise. Get the blood flowing, right? So this could be like just some jumping jacks or something, or run around a little bit. Make something happen where you're physically excited so that you can actually put yourself into your music. I think going into making music when you're tired and worn out or you're not loose is almost always a guaranteed failure for me. I wind up avoiding the task quite a bit. I go on the internet. I do all sorts of other things just because I'm not really there. I'm not energized enough. So I recommend, honestly, getting some sort of situation, maybe a standing desk or a table where you can stand and move around. And this is especially important if you're doing the kind of music that involves making people move. So if you're doing dance music, for instance, one of the best ways to find out if your music is working on that level and will make people dance is to try to dance to it. I think it's kind of ironic if we picture someone making exciting dance music or, you know, hard rock music sitting in a chair. It's just, it doesn't make sense. It's not congruent with what you're trying to do, and you're not in that right mindset. So often we can kind of work on tracks that don't really have very good grooves because we aren't in a situation where we're testing it out like you would be if you were dancing around. There's a really good episode of Ableton's video series called One Thing. It's with Daedalus. He's an artist that says you should be moving around while you're making music. He talks about dancing all silly in his room when he's making music. There's some fun footage of him doing just that during the video. And I think it's allowing you to feel the way the music is working, whether or not it is working. It's the first test. I mean, if you can't dance to what you're making, then you're not making dance music that's going to be successful. If you can't feel it, how are the people listening to it going to feel it when you release the track? You need to make sure it works for you on your own, in your own space. I think there's some other fun advantages too of doing this by moving around the room, dancing around, whatever. Sometimes you get a different feel for what the mix sounds like. While you're moving around the room, you're not in that sort of sweet spot of your monitors. You're supposed to have this like equilateral triangle where your head is one of the points and each monitor is another two points of the triangle. Get out of that sweet spot and just listen to how the music plays as it bounces off the walls and off the ceiling and off your furniture. It might reveal some things about your mix that you didn't notice otherwise. To that point, I even recommend listening to your tracks from a different room. Like walk out of the room and hear what it sounds like down the hallway or something. Again, you might notice something that jumps out of the mix that needs a little taming or something that gets lost that you might want to reconsider your mix for. I've definitely improved my mixes by listening in very wrong ways, not sitting in the right sweet spot, but just kind of moving around. And to that point too, try listening to your music while you're doing other things. Maybe while you're doing your chores, while you're washing the dishes or something, have your music going. So you're not completely listening to it. You do have it on, you're listening, but you're sort of distracted. You're not focusing as much. Much like how probably most people will listen. They won't be listening for every little tiny detail, making sure everything's sitting exactly the way it is and listening and waiting for each little element to come in and out of the mix like you will be because you are so connected to your own music. By doing other things, you get a feel for how the music works when you're just kind of letting it happen around you and you're not focusing on it. That's kind of important. Also, something you can do to make your music making a little more physical. Try thinking about like using musical instruments, whether it's MIDI controllers or whatever, but something that you're actually moving with. I just think when you're making music with a mouse and a keyboard, it's so similar to doing work that you can kind of lose the feeling of your music and not get in the vibe. And I sometimes like really detailed editing for me gets a little boring and I lose my motivation just because I'm clicking and dragging and doing these little tiny movements with my fingers and the physicalness is gone. Physicality is gone. So maybe do some mapping, you know, set up some MIDI controllers, map them to do certain tasks. You got faders, you got knobs, keys, whatever, pads, it doesn't really matter. But at least now what you're doing feels a little more physical and it's a little more like playing an instrument and a lot less like doing any kind of boring desk work, for example. When Da Vinci talks about physical movement in his music making, one of the places he draws from is the martial arts. And the martial arts is really an interesting example, in my opinion, because you're doing something very physical, but it's also very mental too. You're thinking about techniques and you're reacting to an opponent and you're trying to decide how to move your body. And it's the kind of thing you can study forever. You can read books, you can watch DVDs, but you just don't learn it until you do it. There's no way you're going to master any martial art unless you do it. There's also the thinking part too that comes in. There's this connection you have to make. And a lot of times the thinking is very forced in the beginning, but as your training continues, it starts to become more and more automatic. I think we can apply that to music as well. By getting into our movements, by doing other gestures than just typing things in on the computer and sitting at a desk, we start to make these more natural connections. And tasks you do musically become more just natural movements of your body. I think, like for instance, when I play guitar, I'm not really thinking too hard about how I form the chords with my fingers. It just happens. It's natural. And therefore, my connection to the music is very fluid and it's very just a normal thing I do. It's not something I have to really stress and labor over. We use our bodies for everything we do every day. And by incorporating it with our music, we will start to see the connections. And it's much like how in martial arts, throwing a kick in a lot of ways is like throwing a ball in baseball. There's technique, there's formulas, there's styles and different ways to do it. And it all starts to connect when you bring them all together. You start to see the connections between different disciplines. The more you throw your kicks or throw your ball, the more second nature it becomes and more fluid and the less you have to actually think about it. Think of all the things you do on a regular basis that are very complex physical procedures, but we don't think twice about it. Just walking is an amazing feat. Typing on a keyboard is really amazing. And if you have learned how to type properly, you don't even have to really think. And you're typing fast, as faster than you can write, and sometimes as fast as you can think. That's pretty incredible. We want to try to make those connections with our music so that we can produce music as fast as we can and as fluidly as we can, and that we're not getting stuck trying to figure out how to do it every time. I think the physical movement aspect can really be a big help when we make those connections. There's one more thing I want to talk about before we end this episode, and that's body language, because there's an interesting connection going on. So we all know body language as the way our bodies are positioned that reveals some of our emotions, what we're feeling. And they say when people speak that the actual words they say really only comprise about something like 30% of the meaning, maybe more, maybe less. Who knows how they calculate this? But the point is, the actual words we say is really only a small percentage of what makes our meaning. The other percentages come from our body language, how we're positioned, what we're doing with our body, and our tone of voice. So if we change those, we get a much different meaning out of it. I had a great teacher that used the example of the old Meineke or Midas commercials about mufflers. The old slogan was, "I'm not going to pay a lot for that muffler." And if you just say those words, "I'm not going to pay a lot for that muffler," it means whatever. But depending on the tone of voice we use, it changes quite a bit. "I'm not going to pay a lot for that muffler," meaning like, "I won't pay that much, but maybe some other idiot will." "I'm not going to pay a lot for that muffler." It emphasizes the "not" and the "I absolutely will not pay that." "I'm not going to pay a lot for that muffler," meaning, "I don't want that muffler, but maybe a different one I'll pay a lot for." And so on and so forth. And you go through this, and you could also play around with the body language. For instance, if the person is behind the counter on the other end of the counter and they say this, it means one thing. But if they get close with their face right in the face of the other person and they're yelling or they're whispering, it changes the meaning a lot. So anyway, we know body language as this reflection of how a person is feeling. We can tell if someone's uncomfortable, happy, shy, or upset just by their body. But what the people that study this stuff have also found is that body language is not a one-way street. So yeah, it reflects how we're feeling, but we can also affect how we feel by changing our body language. And you could try this out. Walk around tomorrow with the biggest smile on your face, like you're having the best day of your life. Act that way. When you see people, greet them with open greetings, warm, welcoming, and you can't help but feel that way. I mean, even just sitting in your chair right now or wherever you are listening to this podcast, crack a smile. It's hard not to feel like a little bit of a warmth, a little kind of relief when you do that, compared to if you make your face real angry and try to act. Take the posture of someone that's angry, squeeze your fists, furrow your brow, you know, frown or whatever, grit your teeth. And you start to feel that tension of anger. And your body reflects that and gets that into your head. This stuff is so hardwired into us over all our years of evolution that it's become a two-way street. So we can manipulate it. We can change the way we feel to some degree by changing our body language. And this connects to what I'm talking about with getting physical with music, in that you can kind of psych yourself up for making music by using your body. When you're not feeling something, groove out to what it is, dance a little, move around. Try doing that a little bit. If you feel like kind of lazy about doing music, you can't pull yourself together, which is a big thing, and I think it's one of the hardest parts, is just getting started. Try moving the body, put on some loud music, dance around, get yourself inspired, kind of force it on yourself. And it's pretty amazing how easily we are able to manipulate ourselves by doing things like this. It can really take us out of a bad mood or a little slump that we might be going through if we use our body. And that's the RNA, the reflect and apply from the episode number 33 I had with Da Vinci. Great conversation. Again, I do recommend you go back and listen to that if you haven't. And even if you have, it's worth a re-listen. There's a lot of great stuff in there. He's a really smart guy. He's making great music and he's got it down. He knows what he's talking about. So as you go on in your next adventure, think about that. Think about getting physical as you make music and working your body. Get the mind-body connection going because it is a connection. They're not separate things. Your brain is your body. It's part of you. So treat it that way and get it moving just the way you would get your body moving. And that will help you to create and express yourselves with your music. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I got a bunch of ideas planned, and I'm sure as I speak to people, there's a lot of cool things to talk about based on what they said and how we can apply all that to what we're doing here so we can all find ourselves making better music and making the world a much better place to listen to. Thanks a lot for listening again. My name is Brian Funk. I make music as Afro DJ Mac. Check out my site, afrodjmac.com, and have yourself a great day.